Sorry it went in that direction and I lost it there for a moment, but the power that's going on here, I've had enough of it. And we're going to get shed of it right here, right now. This is our house, our moment to praise our Lord. And in this moment, we need to find that peace. And each and every one of you in this room is struggling against something. A lot of things. Jobs, trips, aches, pains, mental anguish. And you know what? I'm proud and I am blessed and I am happy to be in a place where I can walk in and say to you, my knee hurts. My soul hurts. And we can be with each other and be lifted up and pray and strengthen one another for anything that is beating on us here today. And take it from here. Does it mean we're going to walk out that door and rainbows are going to appear and birds are going to land on our shoulder and sing to us? No! But we'll be ready for what else is going to come at us. Amen. And that, brothers and sisters, is why the blood was on that cross. Say amen if you believe me.
Amen.
Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 7. Thank you, Brother David. In the 36th verse, that's where we're going to start. And we're actually going to cross into the 8th chapter for a little bit. But we're going to start at verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at his table. And when a woman who had led a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts for both. Now, which of them loved him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Also some women who had been cursed of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. May God add his blessings right there. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, straighten us up here. We're a little off kilter. Get our hearts right. get our minds reset. The words that are coming today come from you, and they are strong and powerful, and they feed us in a way no food can. Let us be lifted up by them and return it back stronger, Father. That these words would strengthen us, that as we go about our daily life, that we are shielded from so much. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. And all of his children said, Amen. You know, it's a weird situation that a preacher will find himself in. And now, 8 years into it, I actually get an understanding of it. I heard one time, I listened to other pastors talk. Some of my greatest pastors that I love listening to is Chuck Swindoll. A lot of people have heard of him. And there's a lot of homiletics preachers out there. And they, at different times in teaching, have said these same things. There are some Sundays I walk into church and it ain't there. And no matter how much I pray, it's not until he's ready is it there. And it happens every now and then. Today's a good day. It's not that it's not here. It's that our hearts are so clouded, so burdened, so overrun, that we forget to ask. The sermon title is called, You Didn't Ask. And I had all these great, wonderful, uplifting stories, and then I get here and I start listening to things. And I'll tell you what, let me see you put your hands up. I'll tell you what, you don't have to. Say amen if Satan is beating on you right here, right now. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen if he's going to beat on you when you walk out the door.
Amen.
Say amen if he's going to beat on you from now until you leave here.
Amen.
You know how we escape that? Ask. There's a great story that I've tried to find where I got it from, but it's so burned into my head. And believe it or not, it has to do with China, that a church over somewheres in the South, I think the home church was Mississippi, was preparing care packages to go. They were putting crates together, and they were putting in all kinds of stuff, non-perishable foods and canned this and canned that and clothes and books and Bibles, and they was all singing hymns, and they put everything together, and they fired it off into the truck, and away it went. And one man who had been a late convert in life there, happily doing the work, got home and wanted to sit down and do a little reading, and reached in his breastplate there, no glasses. Looked in his truck, looked all over the house, couldn't find him anywhere. And after some thought, he said, you know, I must have been bending over at one point in time, and they slipped off into one of them boxes. I'll see to it that when they get them, if they could send them back to me, because glasses at that point in time were hard items to come by. They're still expensive today, are they not? And so he goes and gets himself another pair, and everything's fine. And a month goes by, and suddenly he's sitting in church, and the pastor begins to read the thank you note like we all get when we send out something. Thank you for the perishable goods and for the books and the Bibles and all that. And then came a second note in there, and our pastor sends out an absolute thank you and praise to God. You see, over here where we're at, we can't get all the necessities in life, like glasses. And amongst the clothes, pastor found a pair of glasses and put them on. And not only did they fit him, but they were exact prescription he needed, so now he can dig deeper into the Word of God. How did you know? We thank you. The man melted down right there in his seat, stood up and told him, them glasses fell out of my pocket. You see, he didn't ask. That pastor over there didn't ask. He was too worried about everything else. He didn't ask for glasses. But who knew his needs? Say it with me. The Lord. Say it.
Lord.
I want to change things a little bit today. I want to turn around and go right back into Scripture. This Scripture, I know everybody in the world, in the church world, has heard this Scripture at least once. Oh yeah, that woman, she cried so much she washed the feet of her Lord and wiped them off with her hair. And everybody says, oh, that's a wonderful thing. That's showing love, right? That's what pretty much everybody takes from that scripture, is showing love. Do you know what the definition of a Pharisee is? A member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance. Strict observance of the traditional and written law, and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. A self-righteous person, a hypocrite. And so what do we have here? Let's go back in that scripture for a moment. Get back in there. We have one scripture that everybody in this room has heard at least once. Say amen. Amen. You know, she washed her feet. And as a kid, I used to conjure up images of that. What did it mean? You know, how did she do that with her hair? Did she have really long hair? Did it like come all the way down, you know, Crystal Gale style, all the way down to the floor so that she could just reach around there? And what if it had been a woman that keeps her hair short? And I used to kind of laugh a little bit. And people would say, you shouldn't do that. Well, an old Sunday school teacher of mine said one time, said, if you're thinking about that scripture, whatever way you're thinking about that scripture, it's got a hold of you. Because I used to wonder, how could you cry that much? We make a lot of fun of me because of that stupid movie, Shenandoah. And do you know what happened last Sunday? We went home from church and we were sitting there reclining, and I'm flicking through the clicker because I wanted to take a nap, and I wanted, and the boys are sitting there and we're all in the couch, and here comes Shenandoah. And they said, are you going to stop on it, Daddy? I said, well, I just want to see what point it's at. Boop! Oh, man. They was in the church and the baby was crying, and it was as if the whole household turned to look at Daddy to see what he would do. And I said, not today, folks. Y'all ain't getting me today. And of course, then the baby wouldn't quit crying. And Uncle Jesse Denver Powell says, we're going to turn to page 611 and we'll sing. And the baby keeps crying. And he looks up and he says, how long, O Lord, must I endure this? Because he was Scandinavian in that movie. And he looks down and he goes, with the Lord's help, we'll turn to 611. And there the boy steps through the door. I can't even do it. And the whole church stops and turns. And old Jimmy Stewart sees that boy hobbling up. Ah, waterworks are pouring out of me. I've seen that scene 1,000 times. And so you have to wonder to yourself exactly what was going on in the heart, in the mind, in the very depths of the soul of this woman, that when she heard that Jesus was there, and it says it right there, that she went to him. And she cried upon the feet of our Savior. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Alabaster is still considered today to be a high piece of furniture if you have alabaster anything in your house. Pure, white, clean, beautiful. They make perfume called alabaster perfume, which I've never understood that. Well, they grind up a bunch of rock and rub it on you. But she brought an alabaster jar of perfume in the day of Jesus. You can walk into the drugstore today and get you a bottle of cover-up spray, right? My favorite cologne to use costs $7 a pint. It's called Club Man. You all been to an old-time barbershop? You know what I'm talking about. Because that's what the fella did. After he got done shaving you, he put a little splash of that right there in your hands. And I wear that stuff like water. $7 a bottle. Once a year on Father's Day, my wife says I'm tired of smelling that gasoline. And she buys me something else. And she gets me this little bottle of whatever it is. And it looks like just about enough for a sneeze in there. And it's $60. The perfume represented everything she had. You understand that? Everything. Everything she had contained in this jar, she carried to him. Everything. She didn't leave nothing behind. She went and grabbed the most precious possession in her all of her world, and she took it to him. And when she saw the Savior, when she saw Jesus Christ sitting there, she began to cry and weep to the point where the only thing she could do was the Jewish custom, wash his feet. She gave everything right there at that moment. We go downstairs and we wash feet because we're brethren. Because somewhere along the way, some 300 years ago, up there in the river, after they got done baptizing in Schwarzenau, Germany, then they decided we're going to wash one another's feet. Because that's what the Savior did. And that's what we do. And we want to be pious like that. And we want to walk as close as we can to it. And when we go down in that basement or wherever we're at, and one brother washes another brother's feet, you're at your lowest point right there. And she went to his feet that had wore sandals, covered and dirty, and cried on them, and cleaned them, and poured her everything out of that jar on them. Had I been in the room, had you been in the room, I'll guarantee you, you wouldn't have been able to stop crying. But instead, the world was in that room too. The world in the form of a Pharisee. Let's go back to that scripture for a moment. Let's remember what the definition is. And when a Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, stop right there for a moment. Anybody in this room ever mutter to yourself so that you can say what you want to say, but you don't want the next person around you to hear? So put your hands up. I want everybody. Yeah, that's right. Everybody mutters, don't they? Like when you get in the truck and you're sitting there and your wife is late again and she gets in the truck and she says, how do I look? And you want to mutter under your breath. Well, you ought to look good. You took an extra 20 minutes and now we're late. And you're kind of stupid like that because you're sitting in the truck seat and she's sitting that close to you and you think because you're deaf, you can mutter real quietly and she says, what? And then you think, did I say that out loud? The Pharisee said it to himself in the presence of Jesus Christ. Didn't want anybody to know. You know why the Bible makes very clear to himself? That's a word you ought to underline in there. Because he didn't want everybody in that room to think of him badly. But he still carried that sanctimonious, self-hypocritical nature. Man, if Jesus Christ is the man that he says he is, he wouldn't have let that no-account woman touch his feet. She ain't worth it. I guarantee you she ain't touching mine. But Jesus heard him. Heard him. Imagine now, cheeks are all glowing red. What does Jesus Christ say? Simon, I've got something to teach you. I've got something to tell you. Simon knows he's caught, so what's he do? He says, tell me. Go ahead. And I love the story next. Brothers and sisters, we'd do well to maybe read this every now and then. At least the next section. What does he talk about? Two men who owed money. We're not talking about today. We're talking about Jesus Christ's time when owing money meant everything. You could be killed over a debt. You could be thrown in a prison and never see the light of day again over one denarii. One man owed 500 of them. When we got the bill when I was in the hospital, we got the bill from Cigna, whatever it was. Our health insurance company said, here's how much it costs for you to have pneumonia, which made me laugh because I didn't go seeking it. It cost $29,700 and some odd dollars for me to spend them days in hospital. I became sick all over again. Now, we pay a lot of money for health insurance, and the health insurance paper said, your debt has been forgiven down to this amount. And we're still paying on those debts. How much?
The hospital was $44.
Yeah, all the way down to that.
But the other 10 entities
$29,000. That to me is an awful lot of money. You know what to me? 20 bucks is a lot of money. 500. He owed 500 to a moneylender and he couldn't pay it back. And another man owed 50 to the moneylender and he couldn't pay it back. And you know what the moneylender did? He took stock of the situation and said, you know, I've got a lot of everything I need, This is what it's saying here. Any moneylender who canceled the debt looked at the situation and said, I've got more than enough. You two fellows are clear to go. Walk away from here. That's a pretty big deal. Jesus Christ looks at Simon the Pharisee and he says, now which one of these will love him more? And Simon says, well, the one with the bigger debt. Jesus says, that's right. A little later on in Galatians chapter 2, in the 15th verse, Paul talks about that very scenario when he says, we have been forgiven not because of what we did, but because of what we didn't do. We can't build anything great enough to earn the love of God, no matter who we think we are. We can't do anything great enough. I'm going to make a confession here to my family. I drive by that Good Shepherd Church every Sunday and some of these others, and I get so frustrated that the parking lot is so full. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I'm preaching from that book, straightforward and simple. Maybe I should start doing some show, get some smoke and mirrors in here, you know, get a band, some flashing lights. Maybe I'll dance a little bit. You guys want to see me dance, don't you? I can really do the Lindy, and that's about all I can do. Charleston, is that the one where you cross your hands on your knees? I ain't dancing, so you can just forget all of that. I start thinking, Lord, what can I do? I need to do something else. I need to do more. I need to figure out a way to get the name up in lights, to get the people in the door. And then I turn the corner, and I look at the peaceful little corner, and I remember that some of the greatest sermons that Jesus Christ, some of the greatest teachings came from him to one person. We can't do anything. Paul makes it very clear that the law was supposed to take the Jews to heaven, and it didn't because they couldn't do it. Jesus Christ says, Simon, you didn't ask if you could put water on my feet. You didn't ask how my journey went. You didn't ask to put perfume on me or water for the back of my neck. And she didn't ask. She just did. The lesson is right there. And if you haven't seen it, let me break it down real quick. We didn't ask Jesus Christ to step out of heaven and die for us. You didn't ask. You didn't ask. Do we deserve the salvation that we got? No, that didn't sound very clear. Do we deserve the salvation that we got?
No.
No. If we got what we deserved, ain't none of us be sitting in here. Instead, Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven, seeing the need. And came and died for us. We didn't ask him to. He knew what we needed. She didn't walk in the room and say, excuse me, can I do this to your feet? She came in and did it. She came in and did it. She taught us what Jesus Christ is looking for. Total, complete, absolute submission to his will, to his way. No questions asked. You ain't got to build a golden plaque. You ain't got to make a great anything. You've got to give everything you have in order that the love of Jesus flows out of you. Do you know what you have to give him? Your greatest possession? Do you know what that is? You. Your soul, your heart, your everything. That's the beauty of that scripture right there. You didn't ask. You didn't ask him to come down here and die on that cross. He goes on a little bit further. Let's look at it yet again. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with my hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I've entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. So the question is, or the thing I want to put in your head is, you don't think you were that bad of a person. Well, you were. You had many sins, and your many sins have been forgiven. And so you absolutely should give everything you have to the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's where all of this comes from. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's not an I believe statement. It's an I know statement. There are certain things I know. Are you ready? Number one, I know that if I get my finger shut in the car door, it's going to hurt. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know if I touch a hot pan that I just took off the stove, I will burn my fingers and go, man, that's hot. Say amen.
Amen.
I know these things. These are guaranteed. And I know that I did not deserve the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I know it. I still know it. I know it every day. I know it when I wake up. I know it when I lose my temper. I know it when I lose my patience. But here's the thing I know, that what I didn't ask for was given to me anyway, and that's a home beyond this world. Simply asked for, Father, Jesus, come in my heart and just take me away from this. And I ask that every morning. He came to save you. You didn't ask. Because he knew it. He knew you needed it. He knew I needed it. He knew we all needed it. He knew that we needed a place to go when the job, the family, the beatings were going to be too much. And you know what else he knows? He knows he's going to bless you when you least expect it. He's going to give you more than you ever asked for. And I'm going to tell you the rest, Paul Harvey would say, of the story. Last Sunday I told you that I found a job in the darkest moments, in the last minutes of the hour. I found a job, and then a couple days later, somebody came at me for more money. And when I called the first people and said, hey, I can't be there because of this, they said, hold on a minute. You've got far and away too much value. We're going to double our offer. Doubled it. I'm now going to have a job where I'm able to provide better than I had even with the job I have now. I didn't ask for that. You understand that? I asked to be taken care of. I didn't ask for the extra. But Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Father in heaven, who knows what you need greater than you can possibly ever imagine, will give you what you need and so much more. Say amen.
Amen.
And that's where it comes from. You didn't ask. You can't own this. These people that walk around, these Pharisees that walk around, don't pay them no mind. If they want to look at you and say you're sinful, yes, I am. Thank you very much for noticing. You want to go ahead and pull that plank out of your eye while you're looking at that sawdust in mine? You didn't ask, and yet you got it anyway. A story is told about Fiorello LaGuardia. Anybody know who he is? There you go. Fiorello LaGuardia. He was once the mayor of New York City. And yes, he's got his own airport. I think one day there ought to be the Paul Leatherman Airport. What? Well, see, we're not going to no Africa. During the worst days of the Great Depression and all of WW2, he was called by admiring New Yorkers the little flowers, because he was only 5 foot soaked and he always wore a flower in his lapel. He was a great character. He would ride the New York City fire trucks, raid speakeasies with the police departments, take entire orphanages to baseball games. And whenever the New York newspapers were on strike, he would go on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One night in 1935, bitter cold, the mayor turned up at night court to serve the poorest ward of that city himself. He dismissed a judge that evening, and LaGuardia, a great lawyer, once a judge, took the bench for himself. And within a few minutes, an old tattered woman was brought in front of him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick. Her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen refused to drop the charges. Can you say Pharisee? Say it. It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor, the man told the mayor. She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson. And LaGuardia, knowing he had to uphold the law, sighed. He turned to the woman and said, I tell you, I got to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail. Which is it? She started to break down in tears, but as he was pronouncing her sentence, his hand was going inside his coat pocket and pulling out his billfold. He extracted a bill and tossed it in to his famous sombrero, saying, here is the $10 fine for which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everybody in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The following day, the New York City newspapers reported that in 1935, a total of $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who did not understand, who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that money was contributed by the red-faced grocery store owner, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, New York City policemen, each paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so and gave the mayor a standing ovation. You know what happened? She didn't ask. She tried. She failed. She didn't ask. And she got blessed. She stood there not understanding what had happened. And the need was solved without her asking. Brothers and sisters, we have all stood trembling at the foot of that cross. And the need was met. And more. On the day I lost my job with the county of Frederick County, I laid on a bench at the front pew of Harmony Church of the Brethren and cried for 2.5 hours with everything I had till that bench came wet, asking God not to let this happen. Don't do this. And in the back, should probably a voice going on saying, you didn't ask, but I've got more in store for you. A few days later, I was talking to her. To Linda, to find out what there was. The beauty and glory of being children of Jesus Christ is we ask for what we think, but we get more than we need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't forget this scripture, brothers and sisters. We didn't ask. And yet some years ago, as he was watching the world, I just read on the news this morning on the way over here. It's a heartbreaking thing that some 30 people, I think 30, 20 or 30 people, and another 40 were injured in a shooting. Now, this morning, it happened at 2 o'clock this morning. Here's the particulars. It was at a gay nightclub down in Florida. Somebody with a bad idea walked in there and started shooting up the place simply because they were gay. Where's the love at? I hate the sin, love the sinner. My heart goes out to those who are in pain like that. In this world, it's getting ugly. When stuff like that happens, where do you turn? You turn back to the one who saved you. And you start talking to him about the ones who don't know him. And you tell him, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you. This is Jesus Christ. He saved me. He lifted me up. He'll do the same for you. He'll take you from that pit of hell back up into the resurrection, back up into life. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've created, you are loved by Jesus Christ. And you didn't even ask. He's coming soon. I've still got until I'm 100 to preach here. I reckon he'll wait till that time's done. Maybe not. But we've got to remember, brothers and sisters, that around us is the world and the sadness and the destruction that lies within it. And people know that there's something better and are afraid to. Maybe we start turning to somebody and go, hey, you didn't ask, but do you know my Jesus? Because we didn't ask and he knew us. Right? Let us pray. Father, we do not know. I mean, the songs is full of it. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds our hand, Father. We know that somewhere out there is the understanding and the beauty and glory of all of this. We didn't ask for your son to be killed, but he stepped forward anyway. There's people around us that won't ask because they're afraid. Let us take away that fear and talk to them. There are times we don't ask because we are afraid. The glory of the good Lord is he knows our needs and he meets them in abundance. Father, I pray, Father, that you would simply take us forward and let us meet the fightings and the aggravation with the hope and securement of the Holy Spirit, knowing that at the end of all of this lies a reward so great we cannot even put it into words. A reward put in place that we didn't ask for. A price paid, a debt lifted, a debt so great that we should love so great. We thank you, Father, for the Almighty Jesus Christ. And we ask that you hear us as we lift him up. We lift up you, the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, for everything. In his name we pray. Amen.